fasting as we come into 2020. Again, I believe if we give God our best, He blesses the rest. I give God the first of my year in prayer and fasting, and I do believe God uses that throughout my year. I have found God's favor in my life when I thought there's no way, I definitely didn't deserve it, but somehow it was there, I think because of this sacrifice and act of obedience in fasting. Today I want to talk about instances in the Bible where people did something in obedience to God, and as a result, there was a spiritual response from God. Russ, I told you I'd give you this back, so here's your bulletin too. Write this down, if you would, or memorize it. Physical obedience brings a spiritual response every time throughout the Bible. Fasting is that. Fasting is an act, a physical act of obedience to God, searching for, wanting a spiritual response. All throughout the Bible, there are examples of this. You go back in the book of Exodus, and Moses is with his people. They're about to enter into the promised land, and people are coming up against them in battle and war. And in Exodus chapter 17, there is a war. There's a battle taking place where if Moses held the staff up over his head, what happened? The Israelites won the battle. When he dropped his arms, what happened? They lost. We find this in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. It says, while the people of Israel were still in Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight in the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. It's interesting, as long as Moses was able to stand in physical obedience to God, lifting his hands, angelic forces were released where there's a spiritual response that gave Israel the physical victory in the battle. But whenever he lowered his hands, they started to lose. Now, as you go on the story, it came up to where Aaron and Hur actually came up and propped his arms up, so they kept his arms up and he won the victory. But all of that to say this, physical obedience brings about a spiritual release every time throughout the Bible. You know, you can say that God's going to do what he's going to do. And ultimately, there is a sovereignty of God where he has a plan and he's going to see his plan come to pass. But there is also this part of God's releasing of his favor and using us where he says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. This is what will be released in your life. But it's interesting in this, and just right here we have in Exodus chapter 17. God determined that the physical actions of Moses would play a significant role, if not the primary role, in either the victory or the loss of this battle. So you're going to hear this many, many times today. But my first and most important point is this. Physical obedience brings spiritual release in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our church. Because somehow there's this connection between what we do physically and then how God responds to us and how he acts spiritually to us. So what do we do here, right now? I believe at the beginning of 2020, the difference as to how things can happen in a positive way for us, in a beneficial, in a victorious way in 2020, is by how we physically obey God in prayer and fasting and other aspects of our lives as well to determine what takes place this year. As Moses lifted his hands, I believe angels were released into the battle.
Amen.
Angels are very real. I know you probably don't hear a lot about them in church, but if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you have a guardian angel. Some of us need more than one. But we are protected by these celestial beings called angels. And they are used by God as messengers, as those who help us out, sometimes in daily acts or all these things throughout our lives where we may not see them, but they are acting on God's behalf. And there's something about obedience which brings the spiritual release of them into our lives. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and verse 14, it says, regarding angels, this is what the preacher said, he says, he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. Now think of that. Going into battle like flames of fire. consuming the enemy as they obeyed God. This is what the Bible says. Verse 14 drops down and says, therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Amen. If salvation is yours, there are these servants of God sent to care for you. And there's something about, I don't know what it is, but there's something about when we obey God, when we physically take action in obedience to Him, that it releases the spiritual power that we need in our lives. God releases angels into our situations. Amen. As long as Moses did what God physically told him to do, the victory was theirs. The battle was going in their favor. But when he lowered his hands, they lost. You know, there's other things. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It says, in every place of worship, I want men and women to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Why would he say that? Free from anger and controversy. It's kind of this. Okay, there's a song that says, we lift up hands, holy hands to God. Like, this is where the anger comes from. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look like a fool. Why would I lift my hands? I don't have to do that anymore. That's anger. Amen. Right. Controversy. It says in the King James, it says, without doubt. Questioning what God tells us to physically do. Why would I do that? Why would I lift my hands? I don't have to do that anymore. What good will that do for me? I guarantee you, I probably said fasting, and some of you are like, ooh, it's not going to do any good for me. Anger and controversy. Anger and doubt. There's things that God tells us to do physically that He doesn't want us to question it. He just wants us to do it in obedience. Our girls are at this age where we'll say to do something, and like, well, sort of this, not like bad talking back, but talking back a bit, and like, you're going to do it because I said to do it. Don't ask me questions. Don't talk back to me. You better do it. This, you know, you better do it. But we react the same way to God so many times. We throw these fits. God, why? God, why? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go without Him. Without anger and controversy. Whether it's lifting up your hands to God in prayer or in worship. Whether it's taking time to pray and fast. Whether it's getting baptized in water. These are all physical actions that God wants us and tells us to do, which will release a spiritual victory so many times in our lives. I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm not going to throw a fit. God says to do it, so I should. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's talking about the power of the cross, but this principle applies to so many things in our lives. In verse 18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. We know that, right? So you're telling me because Jesus died on the cross that I can be saved eternally? Well, that just doesn't sound very smart. It's not very intellectual. Yeah, to the world, to those perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But look what it says. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Amen. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Well, I don't see it as very intelligent to lift my hands. Well, you're not very intelligent.
That's right. Come on.
The Bible says to do it, so you should. There's power of God released in our physical response and obedience to His calling. There's power in water baptism over our lives. There's power in prayer and fasting. A physical act of obedience brings about a spiritual release in our lives. Every time. Think of this. If lifting your hands up under the old covenant of the law won a victory, imagine the power today in the dispensation of grace. What prayer and fasting and lifting hands can do and release in your lives. I believe that if we set aside a set amount of time to fast and to pray in obedience, as the Bible shows us, that we will see the spiritual realm infiltrate our physical world. There's been times, and I'll share some stories in a moment, but where I just don't know how it happened, but it just did. Because of the preparations that I did in my life through prayer and fasting and seeking out God. You know, Many times in the Gospels, Jesus would do some things to be our example. One is such as this is being baptized. We have 5 people that are being baptized this morning. This would be 19 people in Monster Rock Assembly that have been baptized in 2019. It's pretty cool. But you, do you know, for you that are being baptized, you know Jesus was baptized in water? In fact, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said. 'So why are you coming to me?'" Makes sense, kind of, doesn't it, in our own logical minds? You are the Messiah. You are my Savior. You are Jesus the Christ, God the Son, and you're going to be baptized by me? I need to be baptized by you. That makes a lot more sense, right? But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." Amen. The Father said this needs to be done for those who confess Him as God the Father. "I am the Son, but I confess Him as God the Father. Therefore, I will be baptized in water." So John agreed to baptize him. Verse 16. Again, physical obedience causes a spiritual release. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, settling upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." There's actually this word, dearly loved. There's something about that that I'll get to later on in my sermon. But look at this. Jesus obeyed his Father in a physical action. And the Holy Spirit was released. Jesus is our example of how we're supposed to live our lives, what we're supposed to do. A little bit after this, Jesus went into the wilderness and he prayed and fasted for 40 days. Again, another physical action that would have a spiritual release as a response. We don't need to ask, "What good is this? This doesn't apply to my life today." It absolutely does. If Jesus did it, shouldn't we do it as well? I think the answer is yes. It is good because God says we should do it. Plain and simple. In Mark chapter 9, there's this time where the disciples are praying for a boy that had some demons manifesting in him. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they couldn't do anything about it. And then Jesus came and said, "Be out of here." And the demon had to leave. And the disciples are like, "Why? We prayed, we asked for this to happen, it didn't happen. Why can you do it and we couldn't?" Now I would have said, "Well, because I'm God and you're not." But that's not what he said, did he? Because God gave us all power and authority. Jesus gave him this, but here's his response in verse 28 and 29. It says, "Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, 'Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?' Jesus replied, 'This kind can be cast only out by prayer.'" I don't like that because it should say prayer and fasting. It will say that in Matthew, in the book of Matthew. NLT is lacking there a little bit. But the New King James says this type can come out only by prayer and by fasting. There's a power between the two connected together. Here's a pet peeve I have with the church. And honestly, it's a pet peeve I even have in my own life. It's where we have reduced everything spiritual to what we can feel we can understand intellectually. A lot of it's based on how we feel about things. In many ways, I believe the church has removed the physical actions that God has required us to do and just feel that we can just sit in our comfortable chairs and have no response to God. Well, God can minister to me right where I'm at. Yes, he can because he's sovereign. But there's something desirable that God likes when there's a call for prayer and we make that physical response and we step out of our chair and move forward. That elicits a spiritual response from God. Well, I feel humble, so I don't need to get down on my knees before God. Do you ever wonder, we sing these songs, it says we get down on knees before the Lord, and every one of us is standing here like this. My knees are locked. God knows my heart. I'm guilty of that as well, but we get these calls into worship, and then we don't respond to the calls physically. Oh, that's a spiritual application. It's how I feel on the inside. I feel like I love Jesus, and I worship him on the inside. I don't have to clap my hands. Why is Tara and Ricky clapping their hands? They're trying to elicit a physical response. I should do a sermon just on clapping. Read the Psalms and see what God says about clapping and what it does. Do you ever have the dog in your house and you want to get him out? What do? You clap him out, right? You can clap out some of the bad things in your life through clapping. You can show your joy through clapping.
Yes.
I don't have to sing out. I don't have to raise my hands. I don't have to stand. I don't have to come to the altar and prayer and pray. It's about how I feel on the inside, not what I do on the outside. Show me in the Bible where it says that. Anywhere. Physical obedience brings about a spiritual release in our lives. Amen. Fasting and prayer at the first year can bring about a spiritual response in your lives in 2020.
Yes.
God understands my heart. Well, he doesn't understand what's going on up here sometimes. That's why he says to do it. Well, I feel my faith. I shouldn't have to risk anything in my life. No. We have to act.
Amen.
Everything in the church today has been reduced down to what we think things should be on the inside of our lives. But there's very little outward action. We need more outward action. I've used this example so many times, but you can't tell your spouse, well, I love you, and have no physical acts of love. Sometimes God will demand a physical act of obedience before he will let a spiritual release take place in our lives.
Amen.
This is what was taking place with the disciples. We tried to cast out that evil spirit and it wouldn't go. Why? Jesus, why? Because this type only comes out through prayer and fasting. You need to do something, boys. Obey. Fasting is one of those acts of obedience that has been lost in the church but needs to be revitalized in our lives. I was flipping through Facebook yesterday, and I don't see a lot of people's stuff on there because, honestly, I'm tired of hearing what people are eating for dinner or their rants or this or that. But I do have a lot of news sources. But my favorite one is CBN because it seems like they actually have positive news. That's Christian Broadcasting Network. And there is a headline I saw yesterday. It says, pastors across the nation calling young people to pray and fast into 2020. And so I clicked on it and read it. And it talked about just the importance of prayer and fasting in our churches and in our lives. But we need this. It's not a lost art. It's a lost discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that we need in our lives. You see, there are times where God requires from all of us physical actions. There's a connection between the physical actions that take place here and the spiritual power from heaven that is released up there into our lives.
Right.
Moses overcame by what he did.
Right.
And they lost when his flesh became tired and he gave up. But when he obeyed, they had victory.
Amen.
When he didn't, they lost.
That's right.
What can be released? Power, favor, help, protection, healing, miracles, blessings.
Yes.
From the Lord to us in our lives. Now understand in this, you know, God can release angels into a situation, but we don't worship the angels. We don't worship the manifestations that take place. We worship our Master, who is Jesus Christ. But you know what? At the same time, it'd be foolish for us to ignore those agents and manifestations that God wants to release in our lives.
Amen.
To say that I don't need angels protecting me is foolishness. To say that I don't need God's blessing or his protection or his healing or his words spoken in my life, to say I don't need that is foolishness. I don't worship those things, but I want those things in my life.
Amen.
Second point is this. The higher the call in your life and assignment, the higher your divine protection that God has over you. I know some people have said, well, I don't want to get too close to God, because if I do, that just puts a bigger target on my back. This is what we say is often, the term is this: higher levels equals higher devils. Meaning that if you're a big enough of a threat to the kingdom of hell, that you're advancing against those things which are going against God, well, then you're going to get more attacks upon you. And believe it or not, some people think, well, I want to have me and my little simple life here. I don't want to stir things up too much, because if I do, then I'm going to get attacks, spiritual attacks. Kind of like how they say, don't pray for patience, because with patience comes tribulation to make you more patient. Well, I'm not going to pray for patience, because if I do that, then bad stuff's coming my way. That's not how it works. In a sense, when we cower down to these attacks that we feel coming, we're almost glorifying the devil. We're almost giving him too much power and authority in our lives. I don't want to go high or closer to God, because the higher, closer I get to God, the more attacks are going to come my way. Let me tell you something. The devil, evil spirits, principalities, they already know who you are. There's a mark on your life that says Christian. They know who you are. But think of this. Let me ask you. Who's protected the most in a battle? The general or the private? The general. The one with more authority. The one with more power. The one who is closer to knowing what's going on. My challenge to you is get as close to God as you can. The closer to God, the more protection you have. My girls, I shared this on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, but make so many mistakes as parents. At least I do. I mess up almost daily. But Claire, she was in this phase where she wasn't brushing her teeth. Absolutely disgusting, you know. And we try to teach our kids good hygiene. Brush your teeth in the morning. Brush your teeth at noon if you need to. If we smell their breath, like, oh, go brush your teeth. And every night, brush your teeth. So Claire, I trusted her. I believed her. And I'm like, Claire, did you brush your teeth? Yeah, I need to brush my teeth. And I was like, that was way too fast. It's like before I even said, bruh, you're like, yes. Like there's some parental discernment came out of me. And I'm like, Claire, did you brush your teeth? Well, no. You just told me you brushed your teeth. How many times and how long have you been saying you brush your teeth? Well, I've been doing that for a while, and it upset me. And I wanted to prove a point or make a point. I was like, Claire, do you know where liars go? And I was in my mind thinking, don't say it, don't say it. And I said, they go to hell. But here's the thing. Claire is just this soft-hearted, gentle little girl, and she just crumbled. It's like, oh, no, what did I do? I was like, oh. And so, I mean, literally this meltdown 3 minutes before bedtime, like, oh, I'm going to be up forever. Tara was called in. She was at work. She wasn't there. All it was me and my girls, and I had this blubbering, scared little girl because her daddy just condemned her to hell because she lied. And I was like, oh, no, 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 no. I was like, make it up. Find the right way to make this right. And I said, Claire, that's not happening. She goes, but Dad, now I'm scared. What do I do? And so I thought, Claire, I said, you have an angel. She's like, what? I could almost, the story goes on. But I said, Claire, I said, you just don't have an angel. I said, I bet you have 5 or 6 or 7 angels. She's like, why would I have so many? I said, because your dad's the pastor. She's like, wow. I said, Claire, I said, it's not that I think that I'm super important. I said, but God has given me an assignment. I care for people. And God wants to make sure that you're safe so that I can do my job. And you have angels all around you. So I started talking to him about angels and sharing these stories in the Bible, like with Elisha, and we'll get to that one in a moment. I said, Claire, I said, you have an angel. She goes, does my angel have a name? I was like, yeah, it does. He goes, is it Michael? Is it Gabriel? And I said, it very well could be. I said, there's more than one Brian out there. I said, I'm sure there's many Michaels and many Gabriels in heaven. It's like, wow. And so I got her calmed down, and she goes to bed, and I'm outside her door, and this is what makes me almost want to cry. She goes, Angel? It's like, Angel, are you here? It's like, I know you're here because my daddy said you are. And you're protecting me, and I'm thankful that you're here, Angel. And he goes, your name's Michael, isn't it? And she's having this conversation with this angel that was in her room. I know it was. And I'm sitting outside her door just thinking, Thank you, Father, for the faith of a child. Where I messed up as a parent, but there are angelic beings working on our behalf, releasing their spiritual authority and power over our lives and our situations because we are obedient to God the Father. That we're following the example we have through His Son in our lives. You see, the higher call that's on your life and the assignment God has placed on you, the higher divine protection that is upon you.
Amen.
Do the physical things that God says to do. You don't have a bigger target. You've got a bigger army at your back.
Come on, that's right.
Don't dream small because you think the devil's going to attack you more. The truth is this. You're not a higher risk. You're a higher rank.
Amen.
And wouldn't it be awesome if Mossy Rock Assembly was a church of generals who has legions of angels protecting them, doing great big things for the kingdom of God, advancing His kingdom. Next point is this. There is a difference between God's love and God's favor. You see, God loves each and every one of us the same. God's love is unconditional. He doesn't love the pastor more than He loves Russ. His love is equal amongst all of His children. But there's a difference in favor. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see this in our lives today. An example we find is in Daniel. Daniel, I mean, if you read about in the Bible, you have Daniel in the lion's den, and Daniel and all these different things, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in two different places in the book of Daniel, Daniel did something that gave him favor and gave his colleagues favor that others didn't have. And he was fasting. In the first part of Daniel is when he and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were being presented before King Nebuchadnezzar. They had all these rich and delicate foods, things that they didn't that weren't kosher for them as Israelites. And he went to the head guard and he said, "Hey, let us just have vegetables and water, and then check us over this certain amount of time and see how we are compared to the other servants of the king." And then another one is in Daniel chapter 10. And so turn with me to Daniel chapter 10, verses 1-3. Again, now there's a different king. It says in verse 1, it says, "In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia," so Nebuchadnezzar was gone now, and now he's serving another empire. And Persia is modern-day Iran. We know that. So Daniel also, okay, so in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, that was his other name, had a vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. Verse 2, "When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed." Now, different versions will say that he fasted, that he refrained from these things. And so this is what we know, that you may have heard in the church, is called as a Daniel fast. So basically it's vegetables and water. No meats, nothing sweet. And I like it says he ate no rich foods. In other versions it says nothing, no desirable foods. Now drop down to verse 10. It says, "Just then," so he had this vision, this angel came and started speaking to him. It says, "Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees, carefully to what I had..." Oh, I need to reread that. Okay. Verse 10, "Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, 'Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you.' When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling." But there's two very important words here. Or phrases. In verse 3, it says, "I had eaten no rich food." And then in verse 11, it says, "You are very precious to God." This, if in the Hebrew, this is the same word. And desirable is something better. It says, when this happened, he ate nothing desirable. He left something out of his life. But in his physical action of not partaking for desirable food, somehow, spiritually, that made him desirable to God.
That's good.
His favor. No pleasant bread equals non-desirable. No rich foods. But verse 11, it made him precious, very desirable to God. Daniel ate nothing desirable, and God's response was that he was desirable to him. This is how favor is released in fasting. There's this difference between God's love and God's favor. Again, his love is 100% for everyone equal, but his favor is conditional. There is an initial favor that's given in our lives upon salvation that we just sort of is on our lives, but there's special favor for those who forego the desirable things in life for a period in order to be more desirable to God. This physical action elicits a spiritual response from God in our lives. You can't buy God's favor. That's not what it's about. But you do get more of it with sacrifice. When I deny myself in order to get more of the Lord, God likes that. And it pours his favor out into our lives. Favor, it comes from obedience. It comes from sacrifice. The book of Daniel is all about this. The book of Daniel is about this unusual favor and advancement to a Hebrew slave in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, in the kingdom of Cyrus of Persia. He was always elevated to the top because he knew how to gain God's favor. So my story with fasting, I started fasting probably 15 years ago. I heard about it. I thought it was it sounded like a spiritual thing to do. I didn't know a whole lot about it. But I started to do it. I'd go days with nothing but water. God's word, that was my food. And his prayer. And I'd lose a ton of weight, like I said. And then all of a sudden, something would come up in my life 6 months later. And I was like, man, I don't know how I got through that. It's because I prepared myself in the beginning, not even knowing exactly what I was doing, but God prepared me to do things because I gave him the best at the beginning. And then later on, way down the road, when I needed him, he was there. Whether it was that spiritual attack, whether it was needing that extra provision or needing healing in my life or just the miraculous, like, I don't know how that happened. But I believe, honestly, it happened through the taking that time of prayer and fasting. There's something about becoming desirable to God when we give up things that we desire that helps us as believers. You know, the one thing I want to hear more than anything is just like what Daniel heard. Brian, you have become desirable to me. Don't you want to hear that as a Christian? God's saying, you are desirable to me. I want you closer to me. This is it's not meant to be a spiritual secret, but this is a spiritual secret now in the church. Fasting and prayer makes you desirable to God. I want God's favor. I want it in my life. I want it over my family. I want it over my occupation. I want it over my church. I want it over my community. And this is the only way I know how to get it. It's the only way I know. It's the only way that we really have given to us here in the Bible. Daniel chapter 10, it goes on in verse 12, it says, then he said, this is the angel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. It was a demonic principality over that kingdom. Then Michael, Claire's angel, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit. I left him there with the prince, with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Daniel kept on praying and fasting, and the results was breakthrough from heaven.
Amen.
Now, just a little bit of clarification here. God's not warring against demonic powers, but God has set things up to where there is this angelic warfare taking place above us. God could just go, but somehow, as he's created this partnership between us and him in the relationship, he also has angels and demonic forces as part of this equation. And there can be a release or a withholding based on our prayer and fasting. for whatever reason, for 21 days, God's provision from heaven was withheld by a demonic presence in Persia. But it broke through because of Daniel's continued physical obedience and sacrifice to God. Daniel's part in it is what caused the release. I would say your participation or lack thereof could be what either is having the spiritual blessing and provision and power come down into your life or it being withheld. There's something to this prayer and fasting. This is what we learn from Daniel chapter 10. I wrote down, I said, angels have the answers to many of our prayers, but then we get to decide whether those come to pass or not. We're that tipping point. And that tipping point comes through our prayer and through our fasting. So just really quick, going back to Mark chapter 9. So there's this boy that has a demonic spirit. And the disciples had already been sent out. They've already cast evil spirits out of other people. But for some reason, this boy, when they prayed for him, they could not do it. Jesus comes up, says, get out of here. The demonic spirit is expelled from the boy. The angel or the disciples come back to Jesus and say, why couldn't we do this? Now in Matthew chapter 17, you have the same account, the same story. But again, rather from Mark, this is Matthew's account. In verse 17, it says, Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people. This is his disciples he's talking to. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. That's his response when the disciples could not expel this evil spirit. But these two words, faithless and corrupt people. In other versions it says perverse. If you're faithless, you have unbelief. So there's something about having unbelief if you're perverse. If you're perverse, you're obviously not holy. If you're not holy, that means you're not connected to God. Therefore, you're actually disconnected from God. There's something about when you're disconnected from God that it actually affects your belief and causes unbelief to come into your life. Some of you, probably all of you, including myself, have experienced this. Where you have distanced yourself from the Lord and you felt your faith get smaller. If you want to be close to God, you have to be connected to Him. If you want to have more faith, you connect to God. You see, when you disconnect from God, unbelief starts to take over. This is what he was saying. You faithless and perverse people, how long? Reconnect to God. Because they were disconnected, they were fearful, anxious, hopeless, had despair. They were perverse and corrupt. What this really means is rather than connected to God, they were too connected to the world. This is where fasting comes in. How do you fix being connected to the world? You fast, and then you pray. What fasting does, fasting disconnects you from the world, and prayer connects you to God. You fast, and then you pray. You fast, and then you pray. You pray. You know, in my life, I have to constantly connect myself to the Lord. I have to constantly disconnect myself from the world. Fasting and prayer reconnects us. It empowers us to overcome the enemies of this world. And it releases God's favor into our lives. If I give up desirable food, I become very desirable to God. That's what we learn from Daniel. In Daniel's instance, all he did is just, he gave up meat and sweets. You know? He gave up something desirable and he became desirable to God. This is what fasting and prayer is. I'll talk more about it next week. This is sort of an introduction, hopefully, and maybe an encouragement to consider coming into 2020 with your own prayer and fasting to God. How are you going to disconnect from the world so you can connect back to God? How are you going to prepare yourself for the things that you don't see taking place in 2020 where God's going ahead of you because you're so desirable to Him? Come on. It's through prayer and fasting. I want to end with this question. And if people are being baptized, if they will come right up here to the front so that we can get going on this in a second, I'd appreciate that. what happens in the unseen world, the heavenlies, as you pray and fast. Spiritual release.